Hallelujah. Thank you for overcoming on our behalf. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for demonstrating your power through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for doing it all for us. Thank you for the love that envelops us and demonstrates to us how much you really care. Hallelujah. Well, as usual, I humbly appreciate the opportunity to share the Word of God with you today. And I just want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for sending Pastor away today to bring the Word of God to another congregation. And we bless him in the name of Jesus, and thank you that you're going to use him in a mighty way, that the Holy Spirit will be upon him, and he will glorify you and in the midst of some of our other brothers and sisters. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I might preach from Genesis to Revelation. May touch a little bit of everywhere. We're going to talk about Jesus in a little bit different way this morning, perhaps. We're going to be talking about the Father in maybe a little bit different way. And we're going to be talking about one of the wonders of Christianity. So we'll just go ahead and get started. First of all, Jesus came as a Messiah, as the Messiah and Savior sent by the Father to us. And he came to accomplish a mission of many assignments that was given to him by the Father, and that's why he sent him. Before Adam and Eve ever sinned, Adam and Eve fellowshipped with God in the cool of the evening in Eden. The very first thing that God did with his creation was fellowship with it. Fellowship with them. He came down in the garden, blessing all that he had created, and fellowshipped with Adam and Eve. Their sin brought an end to the intimate fellowship and a curse to the world. The Father then worked through centuries, doing everything that he needed to do, sending whoever he needed to send, speaking through whoever he had sent, demonstrating for centuries that whatever did to do everything to bring Jesus into the world as the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of the world. And Jesus accomplished that mission. It was only then that people could get a clearer and fuller revelation of God. He was known in the Old Testament, but not all of him. Not all of his nature. So today we're going to be looking at Jesus as what the Scripture calls him, the faithful witness. Jesus, the faithful witness, who would accurately reveal and demonstrate to us the real nature of the Father. And this Father, who to our utter amazement, and even sometimes to our utter disbelief, wants to fellowship with his children. Amen. Wants to fellowship with us. Wants to fellowship with you and with me. God hasn't given up on his original creation. He's going to be bringing it, his whole plan, he's never given up on. And he's going to allow us to, what he desires and will forever desire, to fellowship with his creation. That's what heaven is all about. He's bringing heaven down to earth, and it's going to be a new earth. It's going to be redeemed earth. But his plan has never varied. It's just gotten a few detours along the way, but it's never varied. You know, this is a really important biblical fact that we need to understand. We can't change the plan of God, but he wants us to fulfill the plan of God. What our lives as Christians really are is a fulfillment of his plan. And he will use us to help fulfill that. But it's not about us, it's about him. There isn't anything we can do to stop him. We can only do things to help him. Now you say, well, why would I say that? Well, because sometimes if you listen to other Christians somewhere along the line, they feel like the whole of eternity depends on them. And it doesn't. It doesn't. The only thing that's depending on you is for you to be obedient to God. The only thing that's dependent on me is for me to be obedient to God. And he's given us all the wherewithal to be able to do it. So, here we're going to start with Revelation. Maybe we've already talked about Genesis, all right? So now we're going to talk about Revelation, but I'm not going to quit after this verse, okay? So, Revelation, let's look at Revelation 1, verses 4 through 6. Revelation 1, verses 4 through 6. It says here, John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. And he has made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. He is the faithful witness. If you look at Revelation 3:14 here, it says he's the faithful and true witness. If you look at another place in Revelation, you'll find it says that he who is faithful and true is on the white horse. Okay, his name is faithful and true. So this is what we're looking at in terms of Jesus. So one of those many assignments was that he was to be a witness for the Father. The faithful and true witness for the Father. We're called to be witnesses, right? We're called to be witnesses. Witnesses of Jesus, witnesses of God, witnesses of the truth of the Word. I just want us to see how well Jesus did it. Okay? I mean, you know he's going to do a good job. But let's just look and see. Now, let's look at Hebrews, the first chapter, beginning with verse 1. Remember I said God worked through the centuries using people, sending people to earth with messages, sending the prophets and so on and so forth. Now, here it says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory. Now, who is the he and he? He, Jesus, is the radiance of the Father's glory and the exact, what? The exact representation of his nature. Jesus is the exact. He's not just like the Father. He is the exact representation of the Father. Okay? And it says here, and he upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, there's a couple of things that this says that we may not just see it right there. But notice it said he didn't sit down until after he'd what? He'd made purification of sins. The sin issue needed to be dealt with But the primary reason for the sin issue to be dealt with was to be able to fellowship with the Father. God Almighty can't fellowship with sin. God Almighty can't fellowship with sinful people. Understand? He can only fellowship when the sin deal has been dealt with. So he took care of that on the cross of Calvary. Okay? He settled the sin issue once and for all. Once that was settled, then he just went about his ministry. I mean, now he goes about by the Holy Spirit, his ministry, following that. But the thing that we need to understand is that sometimes people get the idea the only reason Jesus came was to get rid of our sins. But he really only got rid of our sins for the main purpose of being able to fellowship with the Father. Okay? So the sin issue is dealt with. Now, notice here, we see some other clarifications here of who Jesus is. Look at Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God. He's the image of the invisible God. Okay? In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, what? Who is the image of God. You know, so many times we forget we need to pray for people that we want to get saved. We need to pray for people who need the Lord. Okay? And we need to, what part of what we need to pray for is that the enemy can't do this, is blind their minds. Notice it's not blinding their eyes, blinding their minds. Here's where the battle is, folks. Blinding the minds of the unbelieving. How many times have you thought, why can't the unbelievers see this? Why don't they understand? Because their minds are blinded. Because their minds are blinded. So the first thing we have to do is unblind their minds. You say, well, we can't do that. Oh, yes, we can. That's what we pray. Pray that the minds of the minds of the unbelievers would be set free. I don't know how you pray for people who aren't saved, but I pray for people who don't know the Lord, and I just pray that God's going to woo them and draw them. That's what he did with me. That's what he did with you. Woo them and draw them. But you know what? They have to be able to see it. Because their minds are clouded with everything that the world system is driving into them every instant of every day. Okay? Every instant of every day. You can't go shopping because they've got music on. Can't have peace and quiet. Then Susie needs to get to the cash register. On and on and on. All the time. Where do you ever have any peace? Where do you have any quiet? They're always coming at you. So we need to understand the world is doing its part. We need to do our part. And that is what we'll see along the way, the best way to accomplish that. He is the image of God. Now let's look at John chapter 5. We're going to look at a couple of verses here. Therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son, isn't this interesting? The Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. And what did Jesus tell us? You can't do anything by yourself without me. You can only do things through me. He could only do things through the Father. He said what? The Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. That means every time that Jesus healed someone, he saw the Father healing them. Yes. It means every time when he spoke a word of encouragement to someone, he saw the Father doing that. These things the Son also does. Now look at this. Oh, so he sees the Father doing, for whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. Look at these words, exact representation of his nature. He does what he sees the Father doing in like manner. You know what? Jesus was a compassionate person. You know why? Because he was doing what he saw the Father doing in like manner. For the Father loves the Son, here we go, and shows him all things that he himself is doing. I don't know about you, but this is just powerful stuff to me. I mean, it's like sometimes I've never read the Bible. You know, when God lights up something for you, it's just like, how did I miss it? For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that the Father, that he himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than these so that you will marvel. That's why Jesus said, there will be greater works than these, and you will be amazed. Because the Father showed him these greater works, and he had to do what? Show us. Because he's a faithful and true witness. In John the 12th chapter, there are two more verses, 49 and 50. For I did not speak on my own initiative. This is Jesus. I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself. There's so many words of emphasis in these verses. The Father himself. We had a man in the church that I pastored, and he was really a character. I'll tell you what kind of a character he was. He was so bald on the top of his head, and it was so smooth, that he would come in sometimes to a committee meeting or to a deacon's meeting or something like that, and he'd be wearing a light bulb with, you know, one of the suction cups and a light bulb sticking on his head. And he'd say, I had an idea. I don't ever forget Mike. But the point here is, I did not speak on my own initiative. The Father himself who has sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. And I know that this commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. Now, get the picture of this. Here's a funeral procession coming, and a widowed mother, her young son had died, and this was coming down the road. And you know what? According to this verse right here, I speak just as the Father has told me. Can you see what's going on? The Father is saying, okay, son, here's what we're going to do. Here's what I'm doing. Follow my lead. God was reaching down to that widowed mother. He was reaching down to that son who was in the coffin. And so Jesus was reaching out to that widowed mother. And reaching out to that young man that was in the coffin. In John the 15th chapter, verse 15, no longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. Now, Jesus is talking here in John the 15th chapter, I'm the vine, you're the branches, and so on, all that, in the context of this. He says, no longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends. And essentially he says, I have called you friends because all things I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. Or that's what the for means there. So we aren't called his friends by virtue of our friendliness. He's calling us friends by virtue of the fact that he says, what? The slave doesn't know what the master's doing, but I've called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. How many things? All things. He's the perfect and true witness. And he said, everything that the Father showed me, I've shown you. Did they all get it the first time around? Well, no. Do we all get it the first time around? No. There was such an intimate relationship between Jesus and the Father that it was just natural for Jesus to do what he did because the Father was showing him doing it himself. John 17. You remember John 17? We've just been studying this. This is what the pastor said is the Lord's Prayer. It was Jesus praying to the Father. So this is what's going on. And this is Jesus. And he was praying to the Father regarding unity. And in verse 23, he says this, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity. There was a reference there, and I looked up the reference, and here's the way they suggested it read. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected as a unit. As a unit. So we think, well, pastor's just preaching to another part of our unit. Amen? He's just off there preaching to another part of our unit. So he says, so that the world may know that you sent me. It's so hard, I think, for me to handle the fact that I have been involved in, not intentionally, but nonetheless involved in, not acting like a part of the unit. So that the world may know that you sent me and loved them. Who? He's praying for the disciples here. He's probably praying for us to be a unit. He said, and loved them even as you have loved me. How much does God love you? How much does the Father love you? Just as much as he loves Jesus. Just as much as he loves Jesus. In the same way that he loves Jesus. To the extent that he loves Jesus. He loves you and me. Now earlier in the same prayer, Jesus was praying this. And he stated, this is eternal life. Now this is pretty important. It says, this is eternal life. This is eternal life that they, which is us, that us may know you, Father, and the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. That is eternal life. Knowing God is eternal life. And this word here, this is gnosko, it means to perceive, means to realize. It means to acknowledge. It means to means to know. But it means to know like a married couple know one another. Not only well, but intimately. How do you get to know somebody? How do you make a friend? Why do married people know each other so well that they even start to look like one another? God help my wife. Spend a lot of time together, don't we? Care about one another a whole lot, don't we? Try to do everything we can to help one another. The older we get, the more Jill and I look at each other and say, we try to help one another, don't we? Yeah, we do. Try and remember this and do that. And the Father sent Jesus to reveal himself to us. The Father sent Jesus as the faithful and true witness to reveal himself to us. I meant, when I was talking about Mike before, the guy with the light bulb on his head, I forgot to make my point. I'm going to make it now. He used to come in and he'd be talking about something and he'd say, my son did such and such or whatever. He did it his own self, him own self. He did. And this is what God is saying to us. He's doing it him own self. It's personal. Every time it says God himself did, it's a extra strong word that he himself is doing it. And so Father sent Jesus to reveal him own self to us so we could enjoy eternal life by knowing, by perceiving, by resolving, by feeling, by understanding, by knowing as what? As a bride and groom know each other. Isn't that interesting? Bride and groom. We're the bride. He's the groom. And he wants this fellowship. He wants us to know him so closely because he loves us as much as he loves Jesus. Let's really believe that. Let's really believe that he loves me, old rotten rod, as much as he loves Jesus. Let's believe it. Let's believe all that the Word has told us this morning about the Father as demonstrated by the faithful witness. Told us all about his Father and his great desire to have fellowship with you and with me. Personal, one-on-one, intimate fellowship with us. And let's make time for it. Let's make time for it. And grow in it. Because it's one of the main reasons God sent Jesus to earth. So I'm just going to suggest this. We ask ourselves this question of a morning, of a noon, of an evening, whenever along the way. But just maybe ask ourselves. Now this, I'm not trying to get you into a ritual here, but I'm trying to make a point. Let's just ask ourselves every day, what could be more important for me to do than to enjoy spending time with my loving Heavenly Father today? When I think about the centuries that God worked his plan, to get Jesus on earth to accomplish his mission. And the way that he made sure Jesus accomplished the mission was by simply showing him what to do, and Jesus then following with his obedience to do it. And you know what? That's what he wants us. What does he want for us? The very best. What is his heart's desire for us? To be able to bless us. What's he willing to do in order for us to be blessed? To be available to us each and every day. One-on-one. Intimately. Lovingly. To show us what he's doing for other people so that we can follow his lead and do those. To show us what he wants for us. To show us the next place we should place our foot. To show us all these things. You say, well, you can't go through life living like that. Jesus did. Oh, but he was the Son of God. Well, that's why the Father was so careful about him. That's why he was leading him so carefully. Are you a son of God? Are you a son of God? Are you a daughter of God? Are you a daughter of God? He wants to do the same thing with us. Unbelievable. But it's because he loved us. Loves us just like he loves Jesus. It's the way he treats his kids. So Jesus was being the faithful and true witness to the Father. But you know what? The Father was being the faithful and true witness for us to see. Jesus was showing us the Father. But what? The Father was showing us Jesus. No wonder he said 12, 15 times, the Father and I are one. So if you have intimate fellowship with the Father, you're going to have it with the Son. If you have intimate fellowship with the Son, you're going to have it with the Father. But let's have it. I'm talking to myself. I'm preaching to myself. Let's have that intimate fellowship. I could just lift myself up by the scruff of my neck sometimes and look myself in the face and say, think of what you missed today because you were too busy. But he just says, it's okay, son. There's always tomorrow. There's always tomorrow. Father, we just praise you and thank you for the great love that you demonstrate to us day in, day out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us just like you love Jesus. Father, help us to see that, yes, he's our elder brother, but then that makes us your personal son or daughter. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for helping us to just want to see you and hear you and listen to you and seek you and find you. And then, Father, do what you tell us to do. It's awfully simple, Father, but it just seems so hard to us at times. Please, Lord, help us to be your children. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. We are loved, folks. I'm going to tell you, we are loved. We are loved. Let's just be grateful to him. If you would, just stand with me and let's just under your breath, out loud, doesn't matter. Just thank the Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. We appreciate you so much. We thank you, Lord. So good to us. so consistent, so loving, so wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. If you have any need, he wants to meet it this morning. If you feel like the Lord's shown you something, then I would encourage you to be obedient to it, whether it's, no matter what it is. If it's to leave right now and go say something to somebody, that's fine. Whatever it is, it's a good time to practice. Whatever the Lord shows you to do, just do it. We'll be here to pray with anyone who needs prayer. Just reach out and extend the Father's hand toward you. If you just want to come forward and just talk to the Father, you feel free to do that. Thank you, Lord. George, do you have any? Hallelujah. Let's just sing this chorus then.
He lives. I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know. Calm assurance, this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds the future and life is worth living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross that river, I'll fight life's fight, no war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he reigns. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful God. Praise the Lord. Well, I just ask you now to just go forth. If you want prayer, we'll